Psalm 86. And as what Yin Fai said, it is a prayer of David. Verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name, for thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon your word, and grant us hearts to understand, and even hearts which are not so jaded that we fail to grasp the message of this psalm and fail to distinguish the message of this psalm from many other psalms which have the same themes. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us by your Spirit in a special way, that what we obtain and what we glean from your word this evening would be meaningful to us. And may we store the lessons, especially for a day when it will be most applicable to our souls. We pray this in Jesus' name. Now, as you may know, the Psalms, the whole Psalter, right, 150 Psalms, are divided into five books, five sections. And Psalm 86 is in the third section. And what is interesting is this psalm by David, it's actually the only one by David in the third book, right? So you see, 10, 20 psalms before this, and you see 10 psalms after this, you won't really see David, right? This is the only psalm in the third book. Now David, we see here, is under duress. He is crying out, right, for God's help. Now let me ask you, if you paid attention, how many sections to the Psalter are there? Five. What's an imprecatory psalm? Okay. Alright. Now, so this is the only psalm by David, right, in this third book. What's interesting here is it is that he's under duress. He's in trouble. He's crying out for help. But he doesn't do this right away. He only waits until verse 14. In verse 14, that's where he starts to tell God what his problem is. But before that, he doesn't really tell God. And, he doesn't know what to say, perhaps. And if that's the case, we've all been there. We set out to pray, You know, we've got a burden in our heart, but we don't exactly know how to phrase it. You know, that is why we understand that prayer is hard. You know, and that very nice hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, you know, sometimes doesn't really make sense because prayer is not always easy. It doesn't come to us easily. Right? So there are three parts to this psalm. Firstly, the characteristics or the character of the petitioner and God. Secondly, the believer's relationship with God. And thirdly, the specific requests that David makes to God. Now, you know, it's interesting that David doesn't say what his problem is until verse 14. And that's very oftentimes the opposite of us. You know, we can't wait to tell God our problem. And it's a remarkable testimony, I would say, that David doesn't get to the problem until the very end. But what does he start first with? He doesn't start with complaint. Now, of course, in many other psalms he does, but in this one, he doesn't start with a complaint, but he starts with the character of God. And he starts with his character. Now, you see in verses 1 to 10, he's meditating upon God, he's thinking about God's character, and here I believe he's coming up with arguments why God needs to hear his prayer. Okay? He's giving God reasons. God, these are the reasons why you need to hear my prayer. And we see that there are 13 arguments, 13 points that he makes about his character and about God's character. So we see in first argument, and what is that? He is needy. Hear my prayer because I am needy. All right, Lord, hear me because I am needy. All right, that's the first argument. Now, secondly, verse 2, he gives another reason. And he says here he is holy. Now, this doesn't seem like David's prayer, does it? This seems more like a Pharisee's prayer. Listen to me, God, I am holy. I'm not like that publican. I'm very good. Hear my prayer. Now, of course, we know that David is not like that. Right? On the other hand, he is sinful, right? He is not always righteous. And we know this because later on he calls God someone who is rich in forgiveness. So he knows he is a sinner. But what I think David is trying to say here is that he is a man who loves holy things. He is someone who's drawn to holy things. You know, what Yen Phi said, what did God say of David? He is a man after my own heart. So David is basically saying, listen to my prayer because I'm a man after God's own heart. Okay? Therefore, God should hear. Thirdly, his third argument is that he trusts in God. All right, you see that? Servant that trusteth in thee. So because he's dependent on God, he has faith, so God should hear his prayer. Fourthly, we see this in verse 3, he argues that God should hear him because how is he crying out to God? What do we see that? Daily, or rather, it means all day long, right? That means from morning until sundown. You know, from the time he's in his bed until he's back in his bed, he's crying out to God. So he's begging to be heard, so God in his mercy should hear. Now, fifthly, and that's his last characteristic that he talks about himself. In verse 4, he says that his soul desires God. He lifts up his soul to God. Right? So far, David's argument has been about himself. He is needy, he's holy, he's faithful, he's desperate, he's desirous of God. But sixthly, now he focuses on God's character. In verse 5, what does he call God? God, good. And this is interesting. David is in deep distress, right? Is he really experiencing God's goodness, the fullness of it? Not exactly. But what does he acknowledge? He acknowledged that God is good. Right? He acknowledges that. Right? He is conscious that God is good even though he does not experience it wholly. Seventhly, we see here that God is ready to forgive. Right? David is acknowledging that he needs forgiveness. Eighthly, right, it says here that God is plenteous in mercy. Or literally, he's abounding in loving kindness. Right? Ninthly, we see this in verse 6. God is a God who answers. He hears and he answers. Tenth, there is no one like God. So God is unique. Right? No one can do what God can do. And that is why the 11th characteristic, we see this in verse 8, right? No one can do the things that God can do. Right? There's no one like him, and no one can do the things that he does. 12, one day God will be glorified by all. And 13, in verse 10, only he is God alone. So these are the arguments that David uses to convince himself, maybe God, right, to convince God why God ought to or will hear his prayers. So I think this is, you know, practically speaking, when we get into times of distress, you know, very quickly we want to just run to God with our problems. We start to despair. But these are the characteristics that will assure us, okay, will give us more confidence in God. And whenever we are stuck, we can't pray, when we doubt, these are the arguments, right, that ought to bolster us. So that's the character of the petitioner and God. Secondly, we see the believer's relationship with God. So before David states his problem, before his prayer request, he states that the most important thing to him is his relationship with God. So David's chief desire is a right relationship. It's not so much that, now I don't think David would say it's not important that he is delivered, you know, but whether he is delivered or not, the most important thing to him is not the deliverance, but it is his right relationship. And here we see three things that mark a right relationship. Three things. Firstly, verse 11 says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." Now, what marks a right relationship with God? Fear. Fear, reverence of God. And he wanted his heart to be united, right? United to fear God. And this really, I suppose, well, let me ask you, what's the opposite of united? Don't say disunited. Right? But a heart that is divided. Right? Disunited is a heart that is divided. Right? So David was talking about having an undivided heart for God, that this heart fears God alone. You remember Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, right? He says, if your eye be single, then what will happen? Your whole body will be lit up, right? Single means healthy. Single means, you know, well, single means single. Single means completely devoted. Right? And thereafter, you know, in that passage in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is saying that you can't serve God and mammon. So your eye is single, your heart is undivided, you serve only God. So David here is asking God to help him to be completely devoted in reverencing, in fearing God. That he should not fear man, that he should not fear circumstances, but only God and his laws. Right, so that's the first thing that marks a right relationship. Secondly, there's thankfulness. Verse 12, it says, "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever." So literally here, "I will praise thee," it can be translated as, "I will give thanks." And at any rate, that's what the ESV and some other versions have it. "I will give thanks," right, to you. So in the midst of this problem, that there's thankfulness because he knows that there's more to life than his problem. Right? Now, you know, I'm a man of like passions. When a problem comes, That's the only thing that consumes us, right? That's the only thing, right? But David knows that there's more to life, that there are blessings in the midst of the suffering, so there's thankfulness. Now, thirdly, there's also worship. The end of verse 12 says, I will glorify thy name forever. So David was in the midst of a problem, but he was concerned about his worship of God. So in the midst of our problems, we ask God to unite our hearts, that our hearts would not be, you know, tugged towards the world, right, or towards our problems, but towards God, right? Now, lastly, the third point, finally, after, you know, talking about the character of the petitioner and God, a right relationship with God, only after that, then he makes specific requests. Then only here we find out what his problem is. Now his problem is listed out in verse 14, and we kind of read this, and we kind of think, huh, David, again? David's always having problems with people, right? Oh God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. So, we're not exactly sure what this was talking about, but apparently arrogant, ungodly men were trying to get at him, right? And that's a big problem. Now, that is a big problem, but he waits until verse 14 to get it out. Most of us are eager to complain to anyone who would listen, right? But here, he waits. Now, he prays for three things concerning his problem. What are these things? Verse 16, O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. So firstly, he prays for strength. Right? He prays for strength. Now, this is what Paul speaks about also in Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 14 to 16, he says here, For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, this is brilliant. You know, it is the strength of the inner man that is important. It is not circumstances. You know, strength of a tea, right, is seen, you know, when the water is hot. The longer the tea bag is in there, the strength is in the tea. You know, and in the same way, right, we may go through a lot of deep difficulties, but if the inner man is strengthened, then the person can go through most things. The person does not wither. Right? In the same way, you know, we're told by the Word of God, you know, that His Word, you know, is our pillar. Right? Is a pillar and a foundation, right? If we have God's word, we are strengthened. So here David prays for strength. Secondly, in verse 16, you know, very quickly, what does he pray for? At the end of it, save the son of thine handmaid. What does he pray? Salvation. Okay? No one, no matter how strong he is or strengthened by God, would want to continue on in their problems. So he prays for salvation. Thirdly, what does he pray for? He prays for a sign. Verse 17, show me a token, show me a sign for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. So here, David is asking for a little encouragement. He's going through some problems. Everything seems bleak. And he knows that God is good. He can give thanks. He knows God will save him, but he just wants some encouragement. And that's something that we at times need from God. We know that God doesn't always answer prayers like that, you know, and as we're going through the long haul, we ask for a token, a little encouragement. I trust from this psalm there are some lessons that we can learn. I think firstly is, when trials, make sure we are reminded who God is. Secondly, make sure that we are in a right relationship with God. Right? You know, we're told in the Word that the prayer, the righteous, fervent prayer of a righteous man, well, that accomplishes much. And that's something that we can learn, at least from David this evening. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we pray that you would bring us back to this psalm many times over, that as we experience our trials, help us to be like David, to be in right standing before you, and to know your character. We pray, Father, that your people will be strengthened in our man. Help us, O Lord, to mature. Help us, O Lord, not to be as frightened children. And we know, O Lord, that that is what we frequently are. We are sheep. And we know, Father, that even until we grow old, there will never be a time where we will be free from that. But we thank you for your promise that you are there perfecting us. So teach us, O Lord, to mature, to press on, especially in our prayer lives, that we may be confident, knowing who you are when we come to you in prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name.